The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Mura Daf Yudalad. The Gemara discusses the fact that Avshalom was trying to procure sheep to bring for his carbon Nazirus. The Gemara discusses the fact that Avshalom was going to bring the Nazirus in a Bama. So I want to discuss this historical significance, the much overlooked period, and divinely ordained Tkufa of Noiv and Givain, where there was a break between the Mishkan and Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there was a time when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, at which time the Bamais were not permitted. And then the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim, and there began a Tkufa of Noiv and Givain, when Bamais were allowed. And then, after Shlomi HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Bamais were again prohibited. And this period of time, this 52-year gap between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, when Bamais were again permitted, was a very special time for Klal Yisrael, and it was specifically ordained to be such. It was Hashkacha Pratis that Hashem feared Ein, that there should be such a period when Bamais were allowed, because it brought about great aliyah for Klal Yisrael. The Psukim tell us in the beginning of Shoftim that there was Kenim who were Harichu Yom Achar Yeshua. The Medrash tells us that Yomim Harichu Shanim Lo Yarichu. The Kenim who lived, Tamidim of Yeshua, they only lived a short amount of time after Yeshua was Nifter. They didn't live for long. And the Medrash tells us that the reason for that is because they had the custom of remaining in their cities. They lived, let's say, in a city, and they would stay there. They wouldn't travel the land in order to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael and do mishpat and do justice and teach people the right way to live. They chose to stay in their cities, and the reason for that was that they wanted to make their business of being shayftim more profitable and expand their profit margins for their chazonim and their seifrim, their scribes and their assistants. So I don't know exactly how to translate chazonim. Point is that they refrained from traveling the land and spreading the word of Hashem, and that's why they didn't live for long. And then began the tkufa, the period of Shvayt Ashayftim, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. The pasuk says Isha Yashar Bein of Yasa. People did what Ein Melech B'Yisrael is no king. People did whatever they wanted. The Medrash teaches us that the time of Shvayt Ashayftim, while it was a good time, a very good time, the Yidden were generally speaking very righteous during that time, as compared to, let's say, the times when you had Yeravam Ben Nevat and his clan. But generally speaking, that time was not such a great time, because it was a darsha shayfet a shayftav. The Yidden would judge their judges. And it was not possible for the judges, for the shayftim, to be able to influence the Yidden properly and teach them and the Torah and instruct them how to behave, because the Yidden were sort of being shayfet a shayftav. If the shayfet gave somebody musr and told somebody, you can't act like that, the person would tell him back, you tell me to take a thorn out, a splinter out from between my eyes, meaning you're giving me musr to take a splinter out from between my eyes. I'll tell you, take a beam out from between your eyes. In other words, people will be able to answer back to the shayftim that the shayfit was in a lot worse person than they were. So basically, it was not the best of times. After the Plishtim destroyed Shiloh, began the period of Shmuel HaRamasi. The pasuk tells us that Vayim Yom Shavas Arim Bekiryas Yarim Vayirbu Ayam Vayu Esrim Shana Vayinohu Kol Beis Yisrael Achar Hashem. The Jews were all drawn towards Hashem. I'm not sure exact translation of Vayinohu, but it denotes a very strong connection and relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beautiful, beautiful language being used by the Torah. The Torah, we know, Tanakh, is generally very critical of the Jewish people, even though we have to understand that it has to be taken with a grain of salt. The Jews weren't that bad. But the Tanakh restricts itself in its praise of the Yidden and is very lavish in its criticism. But this pasuk is one of the most beautiful lashonos we find about the connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, that from the day that the Aron started to reside in Kiryas Yearim, which was the beginning of the time of Noiv and Givoin, from that day, for 20 years, the Klal Yisrael was drawn closer to Hashem. And that was the time of Shmuel Ramasi. What was special about the time of Shmuel Ramasi? The same Medrash contrasts for us the Shvoit HaShoiftim and the Zkenim that lived after Yeshua to the glorious period of Shmuel Ramasi. And the Medrash teaches us that Shmuel Ramasi did what the Zkenim wouldn't do. That is, he traveled throughout Klal Yisrael. He didn't live in one place. He didn't settle down in one specific place. He would constantly, his entire life, travel the land and spend time in each place and teach Klal Yisrael the mitzvahs and do mishpat and judge between different people that were at odds with each other, bring peace. And Klal Yisrael had an unbelievable aliyah in Ruchnius. And this paved the way for the kingdom of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash and the most glorious period in Klal Yisrael's history possibly came because of this unbelievable aliyah and inspiration that Klal Yisrael had because of what Shmuel Ramasi did. Now the Chazal tell us that this time, the Psukim tell us that when what Shmuel used to do, he didn't just stop and travel the land. He used to travel to different cities and bring karbonis. We find by when he met Shaul, they came to the city, he would bring a karbon, and through the bringing the offering of a karbon, that situation would be inspirational for the people, and that probably was a vehicle that he used to bring Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem. So it was a very, very much Hashkacha Pratis that at that time Hashem organized it so that Bamos were allowed at that time and Karbonis could be brought wherever you were in order to allow Shmuel to go ahead and to do this wonderful, wonderful Avodah, which ended up bringing Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wanted to say a very beautiful remez in the Torah for this Tkufa. We know that it's not specifically this Tkufa, but it's the whole concept, this whole Seder Advarim. We know that the Ramban tells us, the Medrash tells, Mais Avis Simin Labanim. Everything that happens to Avis is a Simin Labanim. So we know Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, Sarah was taken by Paroi to her house, Vainaga Hashem punished Paroi and visited upon him terrible afflictions. And this obviously, the Medrash tells us, the Ramban teaches us that this was a Simin Labanim, that Klal Yisrael was going to go down to Mitzrayim and Hashem was going to bring Negoim on the Mitzrayim, Makos. So that was a beautiful Simin Labanim. So I was always wondering, what was the Simin Labanim? It says in Parshas Vayera that Avram Avinu went to live in the land of Plishtim. And Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, took Sarah, his wife, just like Pari had taken his wife. Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, took his wife. We don't find that Klal Yisrael went into Golos by the Plishtim. So what exactly is the Simin Labanim? We know, myself a Simin Labanim. Myself a Simin Labanim, I would assume, is also referring to the story of Sarah being taken by the Plishtim. What's the Simin Labanim of Sarah being taken for the Plishtim? So I was thinking that this is only my own thought, that the Simin Labanim would be that the Aron was taken captive by the Plishtim. The Aron, which is Shoras HaShchina of Klal Yisrael, that was taken captive by the Plishtim, and that is the Simin Labanim that Sarah was taken by the Plishtim, that Simin Labanim that the Aron will eventually be taken captive by the Plishtim during the Chorban of Mishkan Shiloi, which was right before this glorious Tkufa we were speaking about before. So, this started off as a theory, but then I took one look at Rashi and I saw something that Mamish knocked me off my chair. Knocked the socks off my feet, as they say. I looked at Rashi. Rashi says something, Nifl of Anoira. It says in the Pasuk, when Avram came to live in the land of Plishtim, he said, Vayomer Avram El Sarah Ishtay Achoisihi. He said, about his wife Sarah, that she's my sister, just like he had done in Mitzrayim. But here the Torah uses a very interesting turn of phrase. The Torah uses the expression Vayemer Avram El Sarah Ishtai, which usually El means that you said to somebody. I mean, you would say to Sarah Ishtai Achaisi. What the Torah means to say is that he was saying it to the Plishtim about Sarah. So it's an unusual way of using that expression. So Rashi says, where else do we find such an expression? So Rashi says, Kemoi, just like the Pasuk says, El hilokach aroino alikim, ve'el mois chamir v'isha. About the fact that the Aron Hashem was taken away, and about the fact that her father-in-law and her husband died, which is referring to the taking of the Aron by the Plishtim and the death of Eli and Chafni and Pinchas that happened at the time of Korban of Mishkan Shiloi. So Rashi, I think that the Pasuk is trying to draw our attention to the fact that the taking of Sarah was the simon labanim of the taking of the Arayin. And that's why the Pasuk specifically uses this unusual expression in both these cases. So we see the Chachmas Hashem that he put in this remez in the Torah, but we also see the gevaldige, unbelievable Chachma of Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rashi. There's one other place in the Chumash where the Chumash also uses such an expression. But over there, Rashi does not suffice himself with saying, Eli lokach aroin alikim al meis chomei v'isha. It says about Yaakov Avinu, Eired al-bani, avil sha'ayla. The same expression. Eired al-bani, not to my son, but about my son, because of my son. Kamoi says Rashi, al-bani. V'harbe el m'shamshin b'loshin al. Many times in the Torah, frequently el is used as referring to al. So Rashi says, El Shaul Vel Beis Adam, El Iwak Harayin Olikim, El Mois Chami Avisha. Rashi over there brings three examples, or two examples. Rashi by us only brought the example of El Iwak Harayin Olikim, El Mois Chami Avisha. I think that Rashi is doing this bedafka. Rashi specifically left out the other example because he's trying to draw our attention to the comparison between these two stories. Now, the time before Avram Avinu went to live in the land of Plishtim was a time when the place that he lived was, he lived on the property of Oner Eshkol and Mamre. The Medrash tells us that Eshkol is a remez for Eshkol, the Nachal Eshkol that Klal Yisrael cut the cluster of grapes for by the Meraglim. And Mamre is a remez to what Hashem tells Klal Yisrael that at the time of the Meraglim, there were Mamrim Hayisem Im Hashem. So the idea of Oner Eshkol Mamre is a remez to the Meraglim. I think that the fact that Avram changed his residence from the land of Oner Eshkol Mamre to the land of Plishim, this was the first time in Avram Avinu's life that he lived in his own land. He didn't have to live on somebody else's property and come on to somebody else. So the time of Oner Eshkol Mamre is a remez to the time of the Shvoit HaShoiftim, and the time afterwards when he lived in Eretz Plishtim is a remez to the time after the Shvoit HaShoiftim when Klal Yisrael had his Aliyah, and it was a fundamental change of circumstance, and the causative event of that change was the taking of Aroin Olikim, like we spoke about before, that allowed the Bamais to become Mutter, and that allowed for the Aliyah Ruchnius of Shmuel Ramasi, they was able to go around Klal Yisrael and bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interestingly, very fascinating is that if you look in Parshas Dvarim is a fascinating, fascinating Parsha. Very strange Parsha. Torah starts off, Sefer Dvarim, Hashem is, Moshe Rabbeinu is gonna give the Yidden Musar. He's gonna give them, like the Targum says right in the beginning, he gave them Musar, all the Averis that they did in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu starts with something very interesting. He starts off with the fact that Klal Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint Shoiftim for them. To appoint Shoiftim. And then right after that, he goes into the story of the Meraglim. What's the connection, what's the juxtaposition of these two concepts? Also we find that the Parsha immediately preceding the Meraglim is the story of Miriam. that she spoke Lashon Hara. So that connection is obviously very obvious, that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara. Right before that is a story when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give up my leadership of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem says, go ahead and appoint 70 shoiftim who should help you out to lead Klal Yisrael. I think that the Torah is drawing some kind of connection between the idea that the Mishpat is not being carried out in its optimal way, which would be directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, and instead Moshe Rabbeinu is appointing other shoiftim, and what happened by the Meraglim. Somehow that triggered the Meraglim's, the event of the Meraglim. And this fits in pretty well with what I'm trying to say, that the Tkufa of Shvaita Shoiftim has a connection with Avram living in the land of Aner Eshkol Mamre, which has a connection to the Meraglim.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.